Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of February 15, week 6 of our study of the life of Christ as recorded in the Gospel of Mark. I'm Dan Nygaard. The New Testament book of Mark recounts that Jesus often had his disciples join him in a fishing boat, and they would sail across the Sea of Galilee, actually a very large freshwater lake. They would sail across that body of water and land apparently at some random location. The fourth chapter of Mark concludes with one of these sailing occasions. Jesus has fallen asleep and a storm arises on the Sea of Galilee. Remember, several of Jesus' chosen apostles were fishermen. They were used to being out on the Sea of Galilee. They were used to changing weather conditions. They had been in storms before. But on this occasion, they're out crossing the Sea of Galilee. A violent storm whips up. Waves are filling the fishing boat with water faster than the apostles can bail it out. If something doesn't change, that little fishing boat's going to be swamped. It's going to sink. They're going to drown. Regardless of the chaos, Jesus is asleep in the stern of the boat. Desperate, the apostles go to Jesus, shake him awake. "Don't you care? Our fishing boat is going to sink." Mark records Peter's account of Jesus being woken up. Mark chapter 4, verse 39, Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. If you have your Bible or your smartphone, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. I will be reading verses 1 through 8. These verses record what happened immediately after Jesus calmed the storm. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, my prayer, our prayer, is that Jesus and Jesus alone might be exalted. Now, this is one of the most fascinating accounts of Jesus confronting what is often called demonic powers. This was an ongoing event recorded repeatedly by the gospel writers. This was a common thing for Jesus to have to confront. However, this particular confrontation was rather unique. In the Gospel of Matthew, this story is recounted, but there's two men living in the tombs who are demon-possessed. Mark only recounts the one with whom Jesus spoke, the one with him whom Jesus interacted. The accounts of Mark and Matthew are not in conflict. They do not disagree. Matthew just gives us additional information. Mark, as was always the case in the Gospel of Mark, records his experiences clearly and succinctly with minimal explanation. So sticking with the account in Mark, this demon-possessed man runs to Jesus and falls at Jesus' feet. Mark reports that Jesus had already said to this man, had already commanded the demons to come out. In response to that, apparently, the demons scream, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, do not torture me." The story becomes more bizarre. Jesus asks the demon his name. The demon responds, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, the whole concept of demon possession is never explained in the Bible. It's just documented. It's simply reported. How is it that multiple demons can possess one person is a mystery. And let's be honest, it's kind of mysterious how a demon can possess a person. Yet the Bible records repeatedly it happens. These demons, according to the Gospel of Mark, acknowledge Jesus' power over them. These demons, according to the Gospel of Mark, are terrified that Jesus has come to torture them. An interesting accusation. These demons ask permission of Jesus not just to come out of the man, but once they come out of the man, to enter a herd of pigs, omnivore pigs, who are grazing nearby. Jesus gives permission for the demons to go into the pigs. The demons release the man, come out of the man, enter the herd of pigs. What that actually meant is hard to understand, but we do know, Mark does record, that the pigs are so disturbed by this demonic presence that they stampede down the hillside into the Sea of Galilee, and this herd of pigs drowns in the sea. But here's the thing I want you to pay attention to. This demon-possessed man, when he was still possessed by demons, ran to Jesus and fell on his knees before Jesus. There was still humanity in this man. Yes, he was possessed by demons. Mark reports many demons. Even so, this man was not totally under demonic control. When he saw Jesus, he saw an opportunity to be set free. He ran to Jesus and fell on his knees before Jesus. Mark immediately follows this story up of a demon-possessed man running to Jesus, falling on his knees before Jesus. Mark then tells us the story of a leader of the local synagogue, a man named Jairus. Mark chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, "Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, 'My little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live.'" Jesus agrees to go to the home of the synagogue ruler and minister to this little girl who is at death's door. Now, Mark packs another story inside this one because this is how it happened. This is how things fell out. As Jesus and the apostles are walking with the synagogue leader, going to his home where his little girl is at death's door, a crowd grows around Jesus. Jesus was already a celebrity. He had just done an amazing thing by setting free the demon-possessed man from a legion of demons. There had been a sensational stampede of pigs that ended up dead in the lake. Obviously, a crowd would grow around Jesus. In the crowd is a woman who has suffered menstrual bleeding for years, non-stop. She has spent all of her money, according to Mark. She has spent all of her money on the medical industrial complex of the day. Sadly, the doctors could do nothing for her. Now, she hears that Jesus is in this area, this non-Jewish area near the Sea of Galilee. This woman hurries as swiftly as she can. Not hard to find Jesus because there's a mob. There's a crowd around him. Everybody's pressing in. Everybody's throwing questions. Everybody's saying, Jesus, come to my house next. My mother-in-law, my cousin, my whatever needs healing. This woman sees the mob, identifies Jesus. She works her way through the crowd. She's thinking, she's got one goal. If I just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be made whole. I will be healed. And so she works her way through this moving mob of a crowd. She finally gets close to Jesus. She reaches down, touches just the edge of his clothing. Immediately, the Gospel of Mark records, immediately she felt, she experienced healing power. You know what else happened immediately? Mark reports that at that same instant, immediately Jesus sensed healing power flowing out from him. Now that's a fascinating concept. Jesus stops, looks around, and calls out, "Who touched me?" Now, the apostles are kind of flummoxed. One of them says to Jesus, "What do you mean, who touched you? Look at this mob. Everyone's trying to touch you. Everyone's trying to get a piece of you. Everyone's pushing and jostling. How can you ask who touched you? You've been being touched this whole time." Jesus persisted. "Who touched me?" Jesus was no longer walking. He had stopped and he was looking around the crowd. Can you imagine Jesus' eyes looking at the crowd, deciphering who it was that touched him? I'm not quite sure I would want Jesus looking at me in that fashion. The Gospel of Mark reports that this woman, who had been suffering for years with a constant menstrual flow of blood, this woman was frightened. She came to Jesus, she fell at Jesus' feet, and confessed that she was the one who touched Jesus. She explained to Jesus, not that Jesus didn't already know, but she explained to Jesus and his apostles her condition, her desire, what she did, and announced, proclaimed, testified to being healed. Jesus responded to that woman, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Now, we mustn't forget, the synagogue leader is trying to get Jesus to his house to heal his dying daughter. Jesus has stopped to deal with this mob. The synagogue leader has got to be frustrated. "Come on, let's go, let's go, let's go." Finally, the synagogue leader gets Jesus moving in the direction of his house again, and the whole mob is lumbering towards Jairus' home when some people from Jairus' home meet them on the road. They report to Jairus, to the synagogue leader, "Bad news. Your daughter, she died. No need to trouble the teacher, the rabbi, any further. We are so sorry to tell you. Your daughter has died. She's beyond help." Mark reports Jesus overhearing what Jairus, the synagogue leader, was told. After Jairus has been informed that his daughter is dead, Jesus says to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Before we finish the story of Jairus, I want to look at the principle Mark reveals in the fifth chapter of that book. Calm comes to those who make Jesus Lord. calm and peace come to those who bow before Jesus, who run to Jesus and fall on their knees at Jesus' feet. These three stories, remember, are introduced by the story of Jesus bringing calm in the midst of a storm on the Sea of Galilee. Then these three stories recount how people who fall on their knees before Jesus receive calm and peace from Jesus. The man who was possessed by a legion of demons ran to Jesus and fell on his knees at Jesus' feet. As a result, he was set free from that legion of demons. Mark chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 report that when the townspeople came out to see everything that was going on, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. This man who had lived a torturous life, cutting himself and abusing others, now sat calmly at Jesus' feet. Interestingly, the woman who received the healing, she did not bow until after she was healed. You know, so often we Christians are looking for a formula, we're looking for an algorithm, we're trying to find the system that makes God do, gets God to do what we want him to do. Friends, there's no system, there's no code. But I can tell you, those who bow before Jesus, those who make Jesus Lord, experience out of this world calm. They experience heavenly peace. They are set free. In response to Jesus asking, "Who touched me?" the woman came and confessed, freely confessed. She was frightened, but she came and fell at Jesus' feet and confessed. She humbled herself to Jesus, and in response, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Now, there are all sorts of theological questions that arise from this interaction between Jesus and this woman who has already been healed by touching the hem of Jesus' garment in faith. But I want to challenge you. Our theological speculation is unnecessary. The key to this woman's healing was her willingness to fall at Jesus' feet. Yes, she hadn't done it yet. But when the time came, she fell at the feet of Jesus. She fell on her knees. She bowed to Jesus, just as the demon-possessed man who was still being tortured by demons ran to Jesus and fell at Jesus' feet. Fell on his knees, demonstrating by that bowing that Jesus was Lord. And the synagogue leader, Jairus, had come to Jesus on behalf of his 12-year-old daughter. When he found Jesus, he fell on his knees at Jesus' feet and begged Jesus to come to his house and heal his little daughter. Now, we pick up that story. Jesus and the apostles and Jairus are still on the way to Jairus' house when servants from that house come and report, "It's too late, your daughter is dead, don't bother the rabbi, the teacher anymore." Jesus responds, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Jesus and the apostles and Jairus and apparently a mob of people accompanying them come to Jairus' house. And they find mourners are already there, the professional mourners or the personal mourners. And Jesus says, "What are you people upset about? She's not dead. She's just asleep." The people in the household laugh at Jesus. Jesus just ignores them. He pushes them all out of the house. Then he does something very interesting. Jesus takes with him only three of the apostles, Peter, James, and John. He takes Jairus and Jairus' wife. The six of them, only the six of them, go into the little girl's room where the dead body lay on her bed. Mark chapter 5, verses 40 through 42, Jesus took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I command you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old, Mark reports. At this, they were completely astonished. Calm comes to those who make Jesus Lord. Calm is available to those who run to Jesus and fall on their knees at Jesus' feet. Mark chapter 5 gives us a challenge. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Run to Jesus. Fall on your knees at Jesus' feet. Make him Lord. Give him authority over your life. Give Jesus permission to do what he wants to do with your life and your future. Don't be afraid that Jesus is going to send you as some missionary to some distant heathen place. He might, but if he does, he will go with you. And what adventures you will have. Don't be afraid that Jesus will arrive too late to accomplish what you need him to do. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Let Jesus be Lord of your life. Mark chapter 5, these three stories, plus the story of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, challenge us. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Run to Jesus. Bow to Jesus. Make him your Lord. Mark leaves us with this hope that we can crawl into calm by making Jesus your Lord. Go back to Mark chapter 4. Go back to the Sea of Galilee. Go back to the storm. Verse 37 and 38 of Mark chapter 4. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus, however, was in the stern, fast asleep on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to Jesus, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" This week, in Hong Kong, the Catholic Chinese free speech advocate Jimmy Lai was sentenced by the Communist Party of China to 20 years. The man is 70-some-odd years old. He has diabetes. Sentenced to 20 years. Why? Because Jimmy Lai was an advocate for free speech and democracy, something that is an anathema to the Communist Party of China. But Jimmy Lai, in prison now for the rest of his life, is, according to his lawyers who see him very infrequently, but who see him, Jimmy Lai is calm, at complete peace. In his Hong Kong jail, Jimmy Lai gets up every morning before dawn, not quite sure how that happens. He's in solitary confinement. Maybe there's a window or something. Every morning before dawn, Jimmy Lai wakes up and reads the Bible. Every morning. Every day, he uses pencil and crayons and rough paper, and he draws pictures of Jesus' crucifix. You can find those pictures online. Jimmy Lai, solitary confinement, doomed to live out his days in a Chinese prison, lives in utter calm and out of this world peace. How? Simple. Jimmy Lai refuses to be afraid. He insists on believing. He has run to Jesus. He has fallen on his knees at Jesus' feet, making Jesus his Lord. Jimmy Lai has crawled into calm by making Jesus his Lord. You and I also are invited to crawl into calm and out of this world peace by bowing at Jesus' feet and saying, proclaiming, "Jesus is Lord of my life."